A possible motive in a house fire and shooting that killed a man and led deputies on a manhunt.
My neighbor come up and shot me.
What the victim revealed about the suspect when he called 911 for help. Then schools across the country are suing social media companies, and Wake County might join them. How it's part of a national effort to protect students.
Mild temperatures are turning warmer. I'll show you where we top out.
Right now at 7 o'clock, Wake County school leaders are considering suing social media companies. This is all part of a nationwide push to protect students' mental health, arguing that schools have had to handle the fallout of psychological damage caused by the apps they have on those phones. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. Here's a live look inside the Wake County School Board meeting underway right now. A speaker is at the podium as they discuss this issue. WRAL's Aaron Thomas is at the meeting monitoring the developments inside. Aaron?
Yeah, Ashley, if you're wondering why Wake County Schools is considering this action in the first place, it's because attorneys for the district say that school boards are left bearing the cost for treating addictions and providing other resources when it comes to students and their involvement with social media. Let's talk about some of the popular apps out there. You have Snapchat, there's TikTok, there's Instagram, and Facebook. It's popular among adults, but also amongst youth. School leaders and attorneys worry that these apps are causing a mental health crisis among these young people. Some impacts to consider include a phenomenon experts call popcorn brain, or overstimulation caused by the digital world. There's also anxiety, depression, eating disorders, impacts on self-image. And tonight we will find out if Wake County Schools, if the school board will join 11 other school systems in the state of North Carolina in this lawsuit against social media companies. Now at this time on our late news, I am working on trying to reach out and speak with the child psychiatrist and other family members when it comes to protecting their children in this digital heavy world. Ashley.
CTV.
All right, Aaron, thank you. Also at tonight's meeting, the board is set to vote on giving bonuses to educators at its highest needs schools. Teachers and assistant principals will get up to $3,000 in bonuses over 2 years and get access to more training. Principals would get up to $5,000 in bonuses. It's part of a new program designed to improve education and employee retention. It would be just for 24 lower income and lower performing schools. You can look for updates on our late news at 10 and 11.
Two communities in our area are grieving the loss of two recent high school graduates who loved ones say were friends. Roseville Police and the Franklin County Sheriff's Office believe the cases could be related. 18-year-old Wilson Moore, standout baseball star at Heritage High, who graduated last year, died Saturday. Friends and family on his GoFundMe page say accidental drug poisoning could be the cause. Moore's friend, Jacob Cope, who graduated from Bunn High School last year, was also found dead Saturday. His friends tell WRAL drugs are suspected. Authorities are awaiting a toxicology report for the exact cause. The woman who was shot at a North Raleigh apartment complex today has died. Sky 5 flew over the scene on North New Hope Road, right near the intersection of Capitol Boulevard. Officers were there for hours. Investigators say one person is in custody. Police have not identified the victim or the suspect. It's unclear what led to the shooting.
We are getting a better understanding of what happened in the moments after a deadly shooting and fire in Cumberland County. It's detailed in frantic and chaotic 911 calls. As WRAL's Destiny Patterson reports, the suspect, who appeared in court today, may have been facing eviction.
Bagby appeared in a small courtroom here, and he listened as a judge listed off several charges against him, including first-degree murder and first-degree attempted murder. I listened to those 911 calls, and they're very difficult to listen to, but it does give us a better understanding of what led up to that shooting and how the suspect knew those victims.
This tight-knit community just outside Fayetteville, still reeling. Evans Dairy Road blocked off for hours after a house fire, deadly shooting, and manhunt. In the 911 call shared with WRAL, you can hear it all unfold as callers talk to dispatchers. One of them, a victim himself.
My neighbor come up and shot me.
David Matthews goes on to say he was shot twice, once in the chest. He says the suspect, Matthias Bagby, was going to be evicted.
He lives in the house right back of us and got an eviction notice on the 27th of It's not.
At one point in the call, Matthews and his wife say the suspect entered their home. The dispatcher advised them to barricade themselves in a safe spot before deputies got to the house. Just across the driveway, on a separate line, a caller says the armed suspect shot her husband. Richard Yarborough died from his injuries.
He's got a gun. He set his own
house on fire. Where does he live, ma'am?
He lives right down the road here, past our house. We all share a drive. But yeah.
I went back to the scene where all of this happened and saw several investigators still on scene collecting evidence. I also talked to neighbors nearby, and they say they are still in shock. Destiny Patterson, WRAL News, Cumberland County.
You can understand why. Just a disturbing story all around. We also checked on David Matthews' condition. We just learned Matthews is stable.
A former Granville County deputy no longer has a criminal record for now. Today, the State Court of Appeals overturned his convictions, even though they called his actions wrongful. A bit complicated here. WRL's Chris Lovingood joining us now to explain what is next, Chris.
It is complicated, so let's break it down, Dan. Chad Coffey was convicted on 12 counts of obstruction of justice back in 2022. He spent several months in prison because of that. During his trial, Coffey took the stand and admitted to falsifying firearm training records. He did that so two of his bosses, including the former sheriff, could keep their certifications up to date. In today's ruling, though, the appeals court said those actions were wrong, but did not amount to obstruction of justice. Former Sheriff Brenda Wilkins also took the stand and said he ordered Coffey to do it. However, the jury still came back with a guilty verdict in that. We reached out to prosecutors today, and we are told they are still deciding whether to file new charges based on Coffey's confession. He still faces several corruption-related charges in Granville County for issues with the Sheriff's Department's drug unit, Dan.
All right, more to come. Chris, thank you.
North Carolina House Speaker Tim Moore is getting a high-profile supporter in his 2024 congressional bid. Former President Donald Trump endorsed the Cleveland County Republican in a post on Truth Social. He's running against Jeff Gregory and Lillian Joseph in the Republican primary for the 14th District seat. That's west of Charlotte. Moore will remain House Speaker through the 2024 legislative session. The primary is March 5th, and early voting is underway. For everything you need to know about the upcoming elections, go to WRAL.com and search voter guide.
The Raleigh City Council is cutting back on a costly project to make Six Forks Road safer in the North Hills area. The council voted unanimously to move forward with widening part of Six Forks Road from 2 to 3 lanes in each direction with a new median to separate traffic. This project has been on the table for more than a decade, but the cost has more than tripled in that time, causing delays. The council decided to only widen 1 mile between Rowan Street and Millbrook Road. The original project would have taken that expansion all the way up to Lynn Road. The city now expects construction to start in the spring of 2026 and take about 2 years to complete.
People in North Carolina struggling with their mental health now have another resource at their fingertips. A ribbon-cutting ceremony was held this morning in Charlotte for a new support line. The statewide call center will connect people in recovery with those people who are still struggling. It's meant to offer a space to be heard in a different way. The call line will be available 24/7, along with the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline.
New calls for action after high levels of lead and metal were found in applesauce pouches, what our state's attorney general is asking for to help protect more children from getting sick. Plus,
the Durham bus driver who saved 28 students when her bus caught fire is back at work and speaking for the first time about what happened. We'll have the latest on the investigation into this fire.
And after a sunny, mild afternoon, temperatures are going to be tumbling tonight. I'll let you know where temperatures dip into the 20s coming up.
An investigation tonight in Holly Springs. Animal Control investigating after 28 cats were pulled from a home there. We did send a crew there to show you some video from what it looks like on the scene. This is the home off of Teal Lake Drive. They received the call this morning and this afternoon here into this evening. We are finding out more about what happened there. The house was, in fact, deemed uninhabitable. And we are told that all of the cats were safely removed, taken to Wake County Animal Control and brought into a community shelter there. The homeowner cooperating with the town of Holly Springs to figure out how this all happened and if if they can make sure those cats get to a home where they can get the care they need. Quick update on a story there from Holly Springs Tonight. Back to you.
It looks like hoarding overall was really an issue there as well. Thank you, Mark. North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein is joining 20 other attorneys general calling on the FDA to act after inspectors found high levels of lead and metal in cinnamon applesauce pouches. Nearly 400 childhood lead poisoning cases were linked to recalled cinnamon applesauce pouches. Exposure can cause developmental delays. The attorneys general are asking the FDA to require the baby food industry to test all finished food products for lead and other toxic metals. Hyundai is recalling more than 90,000 Genesis vehicles over a potential fire risk. Water may enter the starter solenoid and cause an electrical short. A short can lead to a fire in the engine compartment while the car is driving or if it's parked. So far, there are no reports of injuries or deaths related to the issue. Dealers will install a remedy relay kit for free. In the meantime, owners are asked to park outside and away from buildings.
Durham Middle School students greeted their bus driver with cheering and flowers today. She helped almost 30 students safely evacuate a school bus Friday after that bus started smoking and then burst into flames. The fire department says it appears the fire started in the engine compartment. WRL's Monica Casey shows us the celebration of her heroism.
28 Brogdon Middle School students were on Deanna Washington's bus when they had to evacuate last Friday. The district says that bus had its most recent state-required inspection on February 7th.
To advise that the bus is in full flames and is near trees and apartments.
A stunning sight at the corner of America and Constitution Drive in Durham. Luckily, DPS driver Deanna Washington had already acted to save her students.
It didn't immediately start burning, and then we stood out there. I got them to write their names on the papers and then turned around. Then it was open flame.
Washington tells me her bus showed no warning signs until it began smoking.
Kind of when I popped the brake, that's when it was like more smoke. And then that's when I'm like, okay, we gotta go.
She's driven for the district for 11 years and has known some of these students since their childhoods.
My kids ride my bus with all my routes. They're normally calm anyway, so they just got up. I'm like, we gotta move. And they're like, okay, Ms. D, we're going out the back or the front? I'm like, we're going out the back because we can't go out the front.
With her husband and her sister, who also drive for DPS, behind her, Washington was greeted with cheers, flowers, and a Brogdon Hero t-shirt.
Because I love the kids. Love the kids. Love the kids. That's it.
The district tells me they are working with the vendor, manufacturer, and state and government partners on this investigation. They do not yet have a timeline of when it will be complete. Monica Casey, WRL News in Durham.
Well done. Meantime, as far as the bus is concerned, the Durham Public Schools District internal policy is to perform daily pre-trip inspections, and monthly inspections are also required by the state.
Oh, we are grateful for you, Ms. D. It will now cost you more to check a bag with American Airlines. In fact, it's more expensive than other major airlines. The airline just announced those price increases today. The first checked bag on most flights will now cost $40 for customers who don't prepay online and $35 for customers who do. The price was previously $30. American's biggest rivals, Delta and United, both charge $30 for the first bag and $40 for the second on similar routes. Depending on where you live, property taxes can be a small inconvenience or a major burden. WalletHub looked at all 50 states to determine which one had the highest and lowest property taxes. State by state, they calculated taxes on a house worth $234,900, the median value for a home in the U.S. as of 2022. In North Carolina, the property tax would be just over $1,700. That puts North Carolina as the 17th highest. For vehicle property tax rates, WalletHub used a Toyota Camry LE four-door sedan. That was 2023's highest selling car, valued at $26,000. North Carolina would charge about $300 in a vehicle tax for that Camry. That puts North Carolina in the bottom half of states, ranking 32nd most expensive.
All right, let's take a look outside. A beautiful night here in Raleigh. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us with an outlook. What's in store?
You know, we've got more of these ups and downs, but you see almost a change in seasons just in the course of the morning to the afternoon. I did want to mention today was our first 6 p.m. sunset in the city of Raleigh, in downtown Raleigh at least. 49 degrees outside right now. We are going to see temperatures fall into the upper 20s to lower 30s again tonight, but we rebound near 60 for the high tomorrow. The normal high this time of year, 57. That was our exact high today, so we're right on par with normal today. We're close tomorrow, but temperatures climb into the mid-60s Thursday and Friday. A little bit of a dip over the weekend, but not by much. We're going to be in a trend of cool mornings and mild afternoons. If we take a look at meteorological spring, which is not far away, it starts on March 1st. The normal high is 59 then. By April 1st, the normal high is in the upper 60s, and April 15th in the low 70s. Next week, it's going to be feeling more like mid-April than the end of February. So let's talk about some of these ups and downs. We do have a cold front on the way. It's not here yet for tomorrow. We have a nice, pleasant day, lots of sunshine. The wind is light during the day tomorrow, but Thursday, our wind begins to pick up, and it's a more significant wind for us out of the south. We see our temperatures climb into the mid-60s with that warming wind. But here comes the cold front. We'll see a chance for some showers moving in overnight Thursday and into the first half of the day on Friday. The morning commute could be wet on Friday. It looks like it would be light rain. It would be scattered, but it could slow you down a little bit for your Friday morning. Still a pretty good chance of rain through about lunchtime, but as we move into the evening, we should gradually start to dry out from west to east. We don't yet have high-resolution model data for Friday, so check in for an update tomorrow. We'll have that available tomorrow, and we should be able to really pinpoint the hour-by-hour rain timeline. I know it's a Friday, so you may want to make some outdoor plans, especially when you see a high in the mid-60s this time of year. It's ahead of this cold front. Totals with this system, less than a quarter of an inch, so it doesn't look like a big rainmaker for us. School day planner, tomorrow as you're waking up, temperatures are going to be in the upper 20s to lower 30s around 6, 7 a.m. By 8 a.m., 34, lunchtime, 50. And then as the kids are heading home, really nice, especially given that it's sunny, near 60. Town by town, 26 in Roxborough tonight, the coldest spot on the map, 29 in Durham, 28 South Hill, 30 for Southern Pines, Raleigh, as well as Rocky Mount, and 32 in Clinton, 31 in Fayetteville and Goldsboro. Tomorrow, highs are in the upper 50s to lower 60s. It's a beautiful day, full sunshine expected. And then as we get past Friday's rain chances, that's ahead of a cold front. So we see that little bit of a cool down, most notably Sunday morning. That's when we get back down to 35. But next week, here come the 70s again. Highs should climb into the 70s next week. Pollen levels should really start to take off. We're already seeing them climb a little bit, but with 70s in sight, you know it's coming.
Just part of the game. All right. Thanks, Kat.
I am a little nervous for that pollen, though.
Oh, yeah, it'll get you.
Mm-hmm. A local man whose real-life near-death experiences are portrayed in the movie Black Hawk Down. It's now on a mission to honor those who serve our country. How he's doing that with his whiskey business coming up.
Take a live look at White Lake tonight. Of course, the sun has set, but it's not going to be too long until this hour of our newscasts will have that sun setting in the background. Tonight, as Kat was saying, was the first 6 p.m. sunset, yeah. So it's getting later and later. It looks beautiful out there regardless. Thanks for being with us here on WRAL News. A Southern Pines couple is building their dream in the whiskey distillery business.
Brad and Jessica Holling are co-owners of the Beehawk Venture, spelt H-A-W-K-E. Brad Holling's life story is wrapped up in what became a major movie in 2001's Black Hawk Down. His was one of the choppers shot down by Somali insurgents during what had been a peacekeeping mission. He was rescued and now honors those who serve or have given their lives in service to their country.
6-2 was the aircraft that I flew on in Mogadishu, and it's because of the pilots and crew of 6-2 and some additional help from other pilots that I'm alive today.
The Hollings say they are now fighting another challenge to get their products into more ABC stores in the state. So maybe we'll get to see a lot more of it.
I'll give it a try if I see it.
Yeah.
All right.
Crews in Wake County are working to help the environment.
They planted 1,600 trees along 4 acres of NC-54 and NC-540 interchange in Mooresville. It's part of the reforestation project in partnership with the State Department of Transportation. In 40 years, the trees will capture nearly 28 million gallons of rain, prevent 3.7 million gallons of runoff, and store more than 5.4 pounds of carbon dioxide. A second planting will be held next month. Good work being done there. So prepare your paddles and putters.
A new sports complex is coming to downtown Raleigh. It's called Pinpoint, and it is the largest indoor pickleball and golf facility in North Carolina. I know what I'm doing every weekend moving forward.
Give the people what they want. That's the message.
According to the website, the new complex will have 16 pickleball courts, 8 golf simulators, a chipping and putting area, a full-service bar, and a golf and pickleball pro shop. All will be entirely indoors. Pinpoint will swing into Raleigh sometime this summer. As I said, I now know what I'm doing every weekend this summer.
Have you ever used one of the golf simulators?
I have. They're really great.
Oh, I want to program it so it makes all the balls I hit look like they're going straight.
It's low stakes because not a lot of people are looking, right? It's not like being on the real course.
I like it.
The Steve Miller Band will be in Greensboro this summer.
The legendary band, known for songs like The Joker, Take the Money and Run, and Abracadabra, will take the stage at the Stephen Tanger Center for the Performing Arts on June 16th. Tickets go on sale this Friday. Astronomers have discovered what may be the biggest object in our universe.
It's called a quasar. It's 12 billion light years away. Australian astronomers say it is over 500 trillion times more luminous than the sun. Quasars are powered by a massive black hole and have been around since the early days of the universe. It's believed that the black hole at the heart of this quasar has a mass of 17 billion suns. It was first spotted in 1980, but it was just identified as a quasar last year.
Well, wrap your head around that. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Good night.
Watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.